Thank the Lord this morning for the hope of the gospel. This should be a place where we come that we come with expectation and with joy and worship, and not a place of trepidation. It's not a place to be pushed down. Not a place where we come, it's like, well, I wonder what other crosses I'm going to have to bear in life. The Lord came to help us, give us life, an abundant life. Thank the Lord. And just when you may feel like that the last lily of the valley has been picked in your life, and perhaps you feel like that there is no more hope in different areas of your life, look up from whence cometh your help. Listen for the voice of Jesus as he calls your name, because he yet loves us, he cares about us, and he has life for us to be able to embrace and enjoy. So I'm thankful today that the gospel is a gospel of hope. I've written on the board, realize it got a little low there at the end, receive, regard, and respond. I'd like to turn this morning to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John and read, starting at the 15th verse, John 21:15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Jesus said unto Peter, feed my lambs. He saith to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he, Jesus, said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter was grieved, it says, because he saith unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. There are many deep messages in this passage to receive and to regard and to respond to. The worship service this morning is a time that we set aside from the normal duties of life, temporal duties of life often, and we come into the house of the Lord to be fed in our souls, to be in the presence of the Lord in a different way, a different environment, to receive. And my prayer this morning is that our ears of spiritual understanding would be opened, and that what you hear, that you think about it with spiritual application. May the Lord help the message to be edifying to us all, if possible. What does it mean to receive? You ever received something? Receive means that you take it into your possession. The doorbell rings, somebody's knocks at your door. You open the door, and there's a delivery man there, and he says, looking for Rod Smith. I'm Rod Smith. Got a package right here. Here, please sign for this package. Well, I have a choice. I can say, well, I'm Rod, but I don't want the package. Return to sender. Not interested. And maybe he'll go away with the package, and you go back in your house, and you haven't received it into your possession. Alternatively, that's me, and you sign for it, and you take the package, you receive it into your possession, and you take it into your house, and you close the door. You received it. Doesn't mean you regarded it. Doesn't mean you respond to it in the way that the sender wanted you to respond to it. But you received it. What does it mean to regard? To regard something means that you give it attention. It means that you have concern for what it is that's been given to you. You make it a matter of importance to regard it. I received it, and I wonder what this is. I wonder what's in here. And you take it, you open it up, and you look at it, and you take it in, and you make it something that's important enough to take time out to understand what's the purpose, what is the use of it, how can it benefit me or not, and you give it regard. You make it a matter of importance. What does it mean to respond? And we could give, you know, there's different ways to interpret some of these words, but I'm giving it to you this morning as it's come to me. When you respond, you don't only receive it. You say, I'll take it. And it doesn't just go in the trash can immediately. You never opened it. You took it. Maybe you heard it, but you didn't listen. You ever done that? You ever heard something, but you didn't listen? You received it. And you regarded it, maybe. But now to respond to it is, not only did you receive it, you took it in, you regarded it, you gave it attention, you made it a matter of importance, and now you're going to act on it. Spiritually speaking, this often involves change in our lives. Is change easy? Most of the time, not. Maybe if it's a change you've been wanting and you just couldn't achieve it, but many times change, when we get in ruts and routines and we get our minds wrapped around, this is the right way to do this, and this is how it is, and this is truth, and this is right, and this is how I live my life. And then something comes along, and we are bid to come and to change course and respond to what has been given to us and what we've been given regard to, and now all of a sudden we recognize, oh, this involves change. Not always easy to change. Often it's not. Like to consider verse 15. It said, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, they had an opportunity now to dine, to feed on temporal food that would go in and go back to the earth, and process would be repeated numerous times, and maybe no necessarily eternal value in that. And we do that, and we spend our days giving a lot of time to a lot of things. We dine on a lot of things that go away, and then we do it again, and maybe they're necessary. They're not wrong. It's been given to us to do. But brothers and sisters, there comes a time when it's time for spiritual food. Are your hearts open this morning for some spiritual food? I hope you're here for more reasons than just it's Sunday and you're going to do your duty and be at church because you're supposed to be at church. But I hope you're here this morning with a heart to receive, to respond, to regard, and to respond. It was time for spiritual food. They had dined, and Jesus turned to Peter, and he said, "Simon Peter." But see, he wasn't the only one that was in the room. But this time, instead of addressing all of his disciples, he had a message for Peter. A personal message for Peter. And the Lord has personal messages for you. Perhaps he has a personal message for you this morning. I don't know what it might be. I actually know very little about your lives. But the Lord knows all about them. And he might have a personal message for you where he's turning to you this morning. And it is going to be up to you to make a decision on whether you're willing to open your heart and open your mind, open your front door and receive and take in what the Lord has for you. And further, it's going to be up to you to decide whether you're going to give it much regard. And if you do give it regard, it's going to be up to you to decide whether or not you're going to respond to it or not. God help us. I often think about when Jesus said, "Will I find faith when I return?" Will I find a people that are still have a heart to receive spiritual food? Or will I find the masses flocking to receive, to fill their plates with the temporal that just goes away? Or will I find a people? Will there still be somebody that's willing to receive spiritual food? Give it regard and respond no matter what it means for them in life. And so the Lord, he turned to Peter and he said, "Peter," he said, "do you love me?" And he asked him that three times. Have you ever been asked the same question three times? Gets your attention, doesn't it? I remember one time there was something that I cared about and I went to somebody about it, and the reason I went to them was because I cared about it. And I was talking to them, and then they kind of surprised me because they asked me, "Do you care about that?" And I was thinking, well, that's why I came to you, because I did care about it. I wasn't sure why they were asking me if I cared about it. So I said, "Well, yeah, I care about it," and I was ready to roll on with what else I had to talk about. But they weren't ready to roll on just quite yet. And they asked me basically the same question again. "Are you sure about that?" I said, "I care about it. Are you sure about that?" And I was thinking, what's going on here? I actually came to you because I cared, and now you're asking me if I care about it. And not only that, but I'm getting ready to talk about what's on my mind, and then you stop me and you want to know if I'm sure if I cared about it. And it got my attention because I'm still talking about it today. You know, a lot of times we see each other and we may greet each other and say, "Hey, good morning, how you doing?" And we say, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?" "I'm doing well." "Good, that's great." And then we go to our seats. And it's actually kind of an American greeting, I guess. You know, where you say, "I'm doing fine," whether maybe you don't really feel like you're doing fine. But it's the accepted thing to say. It's what's there on the surface, see? And a lot of times our first response when we are asked a question, particularly personal in nature like that, where it might put us on the spot, are you at peace with God? "Yeah. Yeah, I'm at peace with God." And good, that's a wonderful thing. "I'm at peace with God too." And we go on. But if somebody says, "Well, wait, are you at peace with God?
Well, now, if they ask you the second time, that normally causes you to stop, doesn't it? It slows down the momentum of whatever it was, whatever direction you were headed the second time. It's like, what? Did they not hear me the first time? I wasn't clear, or there was noise, or I'm not sure why they're asking me this. I'm going to give them the answer a second time. But what about if you're asked a third time? You say, I'm at peace with God. Rod, are you at peace with God? Third time. Now you're thinking, am I missing something? What's going on here? Now it can get down deeper than just the surface, right? Well, this was a question that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. And the Lord not only wanted Peter to receive his question. He didn't want him just to receive it and move on. He wanted Peter to receive what he asked him, and he wanted Peter to receive back to himself what he answered, because he said, yeah, I love you. And he wanted him to give it some real high regard. He wanted him to pay close attention. He wanted that question and those answers to be written on Peter's heart. Now, what he did with it was going to be a decision that Peter was going to have to make. But he wanted to make a point. And so he asked him three times. And he had some follow-up things that he told Peter once he got his attention. Feed my sheep, Peter. Follow me, Peter. You said you love me. And he did get Peter's attention, because it said he was grieved. I don't know. Grieved because the Lord questioned his love for him. Perhaps Peter was grieved because maybe in the moment he remembered when he told the Lord, Lord, I'll go with you to the death. And then he denied him three times. And this was after that. I don't know what was going through Peter's mind, but the Lord got his attention. Peter received it and he regarded it. It was likely never to leave his heart. Why is it so important? Why was it so important in this account? For Jesus' questions and follow-up responses to Peter to be received and to be regarded to the extent that the Lord wanted them to be received and wanted them to be regarded. Why? It's because souls were at stake. Peter's soul was at stake. Other people's souls were at stake. And there were souls that were going to be influenced by what Peter did or didn't do regarding the will of the Lord and reaching other people. And we're no exception this morning. We're no exception. The Lord is speaking to us through this. And he wants to know, do you love me? Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you really love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Jesus says, follow me. Feed my sheep. Ah, there's something else here too. Something else to highlight. Did you know this morning that receiving and regarding and responding to everything that Jesus brings to you, regardless of what it looks like, that is key to us finding joy and life, an abundant life? Why is it that sometimes we get this turned around? Why is it that sometimes we believe the falsehood that if we give ourselves to doing all three of these, that somehow we are subjecting ourselves to some kind of dungeon of discontent or missing out or the real fullness of joy we are locked out of? Because sometimes we can think that. We can think, well, if I give myself too much to the Lord, if I go too far, if I sacrifice too much, if I commit myself to the Lord too far, well then, I don't know what that might mean. It could, because it does involve change. It might involve a change of life, and I'm comfortable with this. And what we miss is that it requires all three of these to find the joy of the Lord. And yet, what do? We say, well, I want to do a lot of what's right. I want to receive. I'll come to church. I'll take it. Go give it out. I'm here. I'm sitting in the place in my pew. And maybe I give it regard. Maybe I give it regard so much that I can tell other people too. Know all the right things to say so that maybe they can receive and regard it. But maybe we're afraid to respond because we're not sure what that's going to do to us. It's a quick illustration. Do you remember those combination locks? I don't know if they still do it because I don't lock my bike up with them anymore. But back when I was a kid, maybe they still have them. They have these combination locks, and you had to turn these dials. You remember those? Not the complicated ones where it was one dial and you turn it one way and then turn it twice the other way and then go the other. But the ones where you had a combination and you moved each dial to the right number. You remember those?
They look kind of like this.
Crude. Remember these? Here's the dials. You got a combination. 1, 2, 3, 4. And if you get all these in the right combination, then this key looking thing could slip in there. And the only way to get this out is if every one of these dials is in the right spot. You could have three of the four, or in this example, you could have two of the three right all the time, but this thing won't come out. You got to have all three of them before it comes out. And then we wonder sometimes why we don't have the joy of the Lord. I'm giving myself to receive. I mean, I can quote scripture and I come to church and I pray and I ask the Lord and I regard it. I study it. I read commentaries and I come and I try to understand what's said. And I spend a lot of time receiving and regarding, but it just seems like I don't have the joy of the Lord in me. You're not going to open up the lock that opens up the joy of the Lord, folks, until you do all three. You got to receive, you got to regard, and then you got to respond. That's the key to the joy of the Lord. And yet we spend so much time doing these things, pulling, trying to get it out, and it won't come out, and we wonder what's wrong. Because we're doing these things right, or maybe we're just doing one of them. We don't maybe respond like we should. Now, in case you're sitting there thinking, oh, here we go. It's so complicated to get the joy of the Lord. I mean, you got to get all the dials just right, and it's a combination, and I work so hard, I try to do one. It's like an obstacle course. No wonder no one can get it. It just seems so hard and elusive, and It's like I just pant trying to do all the things I'm supposed to do so that it'll unlock the joy of the Lord. I want to present this to you. Do you know what respond means a lot of times? It means get yourself in a place where you believe in the promises of God that are already there for you. Just, the Lord is there. He's done. In fact, in so many cases, He does this for us. He says, come sit at my table. Here's the chair. Our duty is to come and sit. To leave whatever it is we're doing and saying, Lord, I'll follow you. I want to do your will more than anything else. And I come. And the Lord is the one that spreads the table. And the Lord will help us. He'll help us receive by His Holy Spirit. He'll help us regard by His Holy Spirit. And then this response part that He does leave up to us, sometimes it's just pull the lock out. This is already where it needs to be. Just stand on the promises that He's already given you. Stop trying to create things that you don't need to create. The joy of the Lord. We're going to go part way. You know what part way often is? It's our works. And yes, works are important. You hear me preach. You hear me teach. Yes, works are important. But we can spend 80% of our Christian lives thinking that this combination lock is mostly made up of my works and what I do to earn the rights to pull this out and experience the joy of the Lord in my life. And we get it all wrong. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift. It's a gift of God. And it's all there. Promises to receive and respond to. Respond to the promises that God has already given. Believe by faith. We take so much onto ourselves, and yes, we have a big part. And yes, we have to give our lives to it. But we miss out on so much because we decide somehow what's the most important. And then we leave out the others, sometimes out of fear. I mean, even the promises of God, we'll receive them, we can recite them, we'll regard them, and we stand over here and we regard the promises of God over there. And we can tell everybody about them. Those are the promises of God. And we stop short of stepping into the promises of God. The thing's already open. All we got to do is pull it. And it unlocks. Where is our faith? Believe. May God help us. Be encouraged. Price has been paid. Yes, we have a part. We read about the man who beheld himself in a glass and he saw the need. Maybe he received it. But then he went away, straightway forgot what manner of man he was, and he didn't regard it. He didn't respond, and he was left without joy and without what he needed in life. We can do the same thing, and Peter almost made a mistake, even after he was grieved. He almost, after all of this, he turned around to Jesus. He says, what about them? What are they going to do? Lord, help us. This is why Jesus said that straight is the gate, remember? And narrow is the way. Leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And it's not few there be that find it because only few are able and capable of doing it. It's because there's so few that are willing, number one, to receive of the Lord. You get distracted with so many other things in life. And then there's even fewer that are willing to receive And instead of throwing it on the table, actually open it up and regard it and find out, what does this mean and what does it mean for me? And then there's even fewer that are willing to put themselves in a place where they receive what the Lord has, where they regard it, which takes time and heart, purpose, being deliberate, and even fewer that are willing to respond. We've studied at length the parable of the sower that sowed seed and some of it fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and stole it away and it was never received. It can be us. If you're not careful, you can come to church and zone out and completely miss the seed that's sown and be right here. And the enemy comes along and steals it away, maybe exactly what you need. And then there's others that it comes and they receive it, maybe with joy. But then the sun comes up and the heat of life and the challenges of life and the distractions of life and the weeds come up and choke out what you've received and maybe given some regard. But then you don't give it regard anymore because you have other things that you give yourself to. Or you don't respond because it just seems like it's too much. The Lord gave us these parables for our edification. I think about the account this morning of the young rich ruler who asked what he must do to be saved. And the Lord came along and it said that the young rich ruler, he didn't it say that he ran to Jesus? Didn't he ran to him? Lord, what is it that I must do? He wanted to receive. And it seems like he regarded it. It seemed like it was written on the tables of his heart what Jesus said. You know why I think that is because it said that he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he didn't respond. He received what the Lord had to say. He regarded it. He understood what it was going to mean for him in life. But he didn't respond. And it said that he went away sorrowful. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we're willing as Christians to do what's easy because we want to serve the Lord. So the things that are easy, we do those. And even the moderately difficult, we sometimes will rise up to that. But sometimes we have a hard time doing those things that touch close to home, that represent the difficult. And the challenge this morning is do we love enough to do the difficult? Do we believe and do we exercise faith enough to believe in His promises? Or will we just not allow ourselves to believe in the promises of God? They're for everybody else. We believe in His judgments. We all, who here doesn't believe in the judgments of God? We got that one down. But then we draw back from having faith in the promises. Wonderful promises. Lord is with us even unto death, and He loves us, and He's going to care for us and help us. Lord, help us. Sometimes we're afraid to receive and regard certain things in the Word of the Lord because we're afraid of what accountability it might bring to us in the response category. I don't want to be in that place. All of us here this morning are going to face some difficult places in life that are going to test our very faith in God. We're gonna face some unexpected storms and challenges of life that we never saw coming. All of us will if we live long enough. We're also going to face some really tough places where the Lord says, come, follow me. And we're like, did you say me? Were you pointing at me? Did you say my name? You want me to go there and do that? Jesus is saying, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Come.
follow. We're all going to face those times in life. The question this morning remains, what will we do? Where will we be found? What's our priority in life? I want to receive, I want to regard, and I want to respond. I want to dig and I want to keep digging. And I want to be found standing. I want to live. Peter lived. Thank the Lord. Peter got a hold of it. Peter did follow. Peter did feed his sheep. Peter gave his life. And today he's rejoicing because he is in heavenly places. This morning, let's not be as the man that saw his need and received and went out the church doors in the front and straightway forgot and allowed what had been given to be choked out. Let's not be as the young rich ruler who came with a sense of urgency and desire to serve the Lord and received. And oh, he regarded it because he wanted it. Oh, almost enough. But then he went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to respond to what Jesus said. Now, let's be this morning, let's be as the man that dug and dug deep and was all in. Are you all in this morning? Are you determined to be all in? That's where joy of the Lord is unlocked. It's not partial blessing from partial obedience. I don't read of that. But I do read that when we receive, regard, and respond, that is where the blessings are. In conclusion, the Lord said in effect to Peter, these are my words, "You've told me now that you love me 3 times. We've got that established. You've got it in your heart. Now that we have that established, follow me. Feed my sheep. Do my will. Believe in my promises. Receive, regard, respond, no matter the cost. You say you love me? Come, follow. Follow completely. This morning, the Lord's blessed invitation continues to echo throughout all generations of time. Come, follow me. Let's allow the Lord to reach the innermost part of our hearts and our lives, where we exercise honesty of heart and mind, where we allow the Lord to get past those initial surface responses that we quickly give out. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I'll follow. On to the next. And we allow the Lord to dig deep in our hearts and in our souls so that we can find life. Will we do that this morning? It's up to you. It's up to me. I want to be found in peace. I want to live where the joy of the Lord resides. I want to believe in His promises, that He loves me, that He saved me, that I can believe in Him, that He cares for me, that I don't have to question that every day, that I can get up and respond with my life as if I believe in the wonderful promises of salvation by grace. Pray for me. I want to be true. I want to follow all the way to the end. Amen.